Hey, I'm Jason, and welcome to Season 3 of the Tales from the Pit podcast. Hello and welcome to Tales from the Pit, the behind the lens access to the entertainment world, the creative people involved. Today is our part two with Red drummer and photographer Brian Medeiros. I hope you enjoy it.
Let's kind of talk a little bit more about your photography. You've been doing video now, so you've been jumping over into video, and you mentioned earlier you've been doing some audio voiceover stuff that we can kind of get to as well. I really want to get into the Red stuff at some point too. There's so many things we can talk about. I don't want to go all night long. I know you got a lot going on. I know you got to rest your voice for tomorrow, but let's kind of jump into some of, you've got into video. You've got some amazing footage. I remember way back you have you playing the drums at like the Grand Canyon or something crazy like that. Just put out some awesome Scotland video footage from your drone that's just breathtaking. Talk to me about how video progresses off of your photography.
Yeah. So before I got my camera, I actually, like 6 months before that, I got a drone because I was like, I don't know. I've always liked remote control cars and like things like that growing up. I'm just like, that's awesome. So now I can have this robot helicopter camera thing. Let's go. That sounds incredible. So I was playing around with that a little bit and, you know, taking photos and video on there and started to have some kind of idea how to put videos together, even just like dropping it into iMovie and just this clip goes to this clip. And then like, let's throw some music on it and see. So I guess I kind of started doing video before, like barely before, but I certainly haven't done as much, and it doesn't grab me the same way that photo does, although it still is such a major, major thing that I super, super love. It's just photo is always going to have the upper hand, you know? But yeah, I don't put as much video out as well. It's like, I've shot a bunch of music videos for a bunch of different kinds of bands. I would have buddies, you know, when I was doing a drum video, like I loved the idea of incorporating what I love of being outside with like playing drums. And so I would do like drum playthrough videos where I'm in the, like the sand dunes out in Utah or like literally on the edge of a cliff in Utah or, I've done some like all over and all sorts of different kinds of elements. And just cause I'm like, it's cool and it's different and it's what I love, you know? But I've done a bit with video. I really like doing music videos because it's like just this collaborative thing of like the artist's vision and then like how you can make it come to life. And it's a lot different than just a photo, you know? Obviously, and it's just this in-depth thing that you spend so many hours prepping for and then shooting and then sitting in Premiere, like sorting through the mass amounts of footage to find the nuggets they're good and how it tells a story. And it's really fun. And I've been able to do some stuff like real estate stuff and some branding, like product stuff. When I went to Kenya in 2021, a nonprofit wanted me to, they brought me out there with them to like photo video the nonprofit work that they were doing.
Yep.
So that was one of those experiences where it's like, they don't have the budget to like pay me for my time, but they'll cover all of my expenses.
Oh, yeah.
And like, that's an opportunity. So I was like, hands down. Yeah, absolutely. Like block out 2 weeks of my life. I'm going to Kenya. That's absolutely incredible. And it literally was like one of the most life-changing things ever. Super, super was. And, you know, I was taking photos and taking video and looking, like I have like terabytes of video. And it's all these moments of like real moments of real life with these real people that have a real problem. But like, it was surrounded by water, of getting clean water. They have the problem of not having access to clean water. And so that's what this nonprofit called Who Lives, that I was out there with does. They've developed a borehole drill that is man-powered rather than like these massive trucks that have a hard time on those terrible roads getting out to the more remote schools and villages and things like that.
Yeah.
So this is a man, you know, it just has a ship's helm essentially laid down flat. You just like cranking it and you just put on another foot section of the drill and just put on another foot section. And it just, you can drill down through rock and clay and sand and like everything and get to those natural underwater springs and provide, you literally can throw all of it in the back of a pickup truck. So it can certainly get to more remote areas. Absolutely incredible. But yeah, like just being able to, like I have so much video of that, being able to look back through it, and I put several pieces together and it's just, you know, you can capture these moments of these people and it like lives on. You know, that's a different way of a photo, just capturing a moment. This is like the actual like voices of them so happy and excited that they're seeing clean water from this magic thing that you know, we brought to their village. And so yeah, the video has a very, very special place into my heart and like why I love it as well.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't do it as much.
Yep.
But
was that, so were you doing that for like a promo piece to show what the work they were doing it, or were you doing that? Was that for a, you know, some other, you know, investor, you know, trying to invest people in, or, you know, what was
kind of both. Yeah. Just for content to be out there about showing firsthand what they do, and certainly for them to pitch to investors about just getting more funds for more awareness and more supplies and utilities for what they do. So
that's awesome.
It feels good that I can use my passions to help in a thing like that, to help with, like I said, real life things that are going on.
Yeah.
And the biggest takeaway from that whole trip was like, they have these major honest problems, but the one thing that they have is happiness. Like they're such a beautifully connected community. And even though they don't have anything as it's commonly like seen and you know, it's kind of the view from our side of the world.
Yeah.
Like they're so happy with what they have, other than like, there's obviously a lot of horrors and, you know, just the disease and death that comes from not having clean water. It's simple, basic necessity. Right.
Right.
But like, the first school we rolled up to, these kids were just like, it was like recess and they were just like creating clay pots and stuff with the mud, and they were stoked. Like they were just so happy and the biggest smiles. And I'm like, we have everything in a phone, like at the, you could DoorDash anything right now to wherever I am. I could look up anything right now, but like generally speaking, like there's such a lack of happiness and just real, I feel like real camaraderie and real connection between people over on this side of the world. So it was a perspective eye opener for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and it was beautiful, beautiful thing.
So, you know, kind of a little bit of a technical question. Were you concerned about bringing your equipment over there?
For sure. Yeah. Because I'm like, it's just such an unknown thing and just traveling that far with it. Sure. And anytime I fly with my gear, I always have it with me. I never check it. Yep. So at least I know it's always in my hands and I will take care of it. But like when I flew in, I got held at the airport and they like wouldn't let me through with my gear. And long story short, essentially were holding me for ransom because they know they could, because they knew that I was a foreigner and that I have gear. So that must mean that I have money. So we're going to hold this guy until he gives us a certain amount. And so it was a different world. It's like you land and you're like, okay, I am not in the United States. Like this is, everything is, they can do anything. You know, this is out of my control. So I thought my gear would get seized or something, but thankfully I was able to kind of like, I knew that they were trying to like extort the situation and just like get what they could. So you kind of gotta play back and play dumb and just be like, oh, I don't have anything, you know, whatever. Yeah. Eventually got, after like an hour or so, being held in like this tiny office with like one swinging lamp, like pretty much literally, I was able to get out. And then from there is a lot of reports of just attacks and just being mugged and your vehicle getting stopped and just getting ransacked. So it's like, I was like, that's kind of terrifying, but it's just part of the risk with doing something like that. And
right, yeah.
Fortunately, we didn't, aside from that thing in the airport, I didn't ever even feel unsafe, you know? So I didn't have any worries about my gear. And yeah, I have insurance on my gear as well. So it's like, sure. If something happens, you know, I can get it taken care of, but fortunately nothing happened.
And you weren't traveling alone, or were you?
No, I was with a team for this impact mission. So, about five or six other people.
Cool.
So, and then we have locals as guides and drivers and local contacts that are part of Who Lives that were down there as well. So we weren't just wandering around by ourselves. So,
all right, let's pause real quick. How are you doing on time?
Yeah. Good.
Good. Yeah. You can keep going.
Yeah.
Okay, because I want to start getting into, let's get into Red, and then come back and talk about voice narration, a little bit more video and photo.
Oh, action. Sure.
I just want to kind of get into Red. All right. So let me kind of jump back in here. All right. So, okay. So let's kind of deviate from that, and we'll come back to all that stuff here, but let's talk more about, you've took the time off, you focused on your book, you kind of was doing your photo stuff. At some point, you start getting involved with the band Red, or was there something before that? But kind of let's go into that sort of time period. What happens during that time period?
So yeah, photo video was definitely like the focus, and the world was shut down from really most music things anyway. So I was doing a little bit here and there of just like kind of later 2020 and early wrapping into 2021. I was, you know, doing some things with some friends, writing some covers and just like doing some videos and just doing little things here and there, just to still feed that flame. And, you know, like, I'm a drummer and I'll always be a musician. I'll always have that passion to play. You know, I need to do that. I need to have that outlet. So just little things, not really jumping on to any tours that were happening or anything. I was just like, it's not the time. I didn't want to just jump into anything that wasn't an evolution from where I was, and I needed to jump into something that I knew I could accomplish what I still wanted to accomplish, the bucket list things that I hadn't hit yet. And so otherwise in 2017, did a tour. It was Red, 10 Years and Otherwise. And at that point, up until that point, that was my favorite tour I'd ever done. It was just ran really well. Great shows. Just the Red camp was it was awesome. It was just like the most professional tour I had done. And so I really looked up to them for that. And, you know, I've been listening to Red since like high school or middle school when End of Silence came out. So, you know, I'm very familiar with it. And I was like, man, this is the coolest tour. And I love the 10 Years guys. So that was a great time. Early 2021, I saw that Red was parting ways with their drummer. And I had a lot of, like, fans like from Otherwise that knew of the both bands were commenting my name in these posts and like tagging me, and so I was made aware of it. I was like, man, that would be incredible. Like, I was just like, this is, I want this so bad. Like, I love that band. I would love to play those songs. I would love to, like, they do great things. They've toured internationally all over. I was like, this would be that step that I need to keep evolving with music and to accomplish things that I still just need to accomplish as a musician. And so yeah, there's a lot of people that had my back and were commenting. So my name kept popping up and they were seeing that. And it was actually right before I went to Kenya that all this happened. Okay. So I had like 2 days before I left Kenya, and I was like, oh man, I got to put a video together just to have something out there to send to him, along with the like, hey, I'd like to, you know, audition or whatever. And so I pulled it together super last minute and did a video for Breathe Into Me, their biggest song.
Yep.
And it was at this abandoned motel, just, it was like an hour outside of Utah, just this cool abandoned place that I knew about. And I was like, that's the spot. I'll do a video. Let's go. Like, I had a buddy that was available and just filmed, like, he filmed it for me. And then when I was on the plane in Kenya, I think, or going to Amsterdam, it was Salt Lake to a couple layovers, whatever. But I was like on the plane and I was like editing this video, trying to like get it ready to go. And I sent it to him and along with an email. And I was like, just hoping. Like, I was like, man, that'd be the coolest thing. But trying not to get my hopes up too much, just because it's like, they're a big band and, you know, like everybody knows who Red is. So there's got to be so many people just like auditioning and just sending an interest about this.
Right, right.
And then I got an email back that said that they would like to have me come out to Nashville to do an in-person audition. And I was like, holy crap. Like, I was just elated. And they had a set of like three songs that they picked for me to perform and then one of my choice. And so even while I was in Kenya, kind of going around as we were driving to different villages and stuff, I was like listening to some of the songs and trying to learn the songs as I'm on the other side of the world. And like, I've had to learn so many songs just in the span of my musical journey. So right. I've kind of come up with a way that I can learn them pretty quick and don't necessarily need to be at a drum set. So I was just like listening to them and just like getting them down and just like trying to do as much as I could to prepare. It was a big deal. And then when I got back from it, thankfully, like the timing worked out as well. So like, cause they're like, this is the day, like be in Nashville this day. It's not going to be rescheduled. So if you can't make that day, then like, that's too bad. So fortunately with the Kenya trip, like the timing worked out so I was back home and I could do it. So got back from Kenya, worked with my drums as much as I could. And I was like, okay, I can fly out. And I know plenty of people out in Nashville. I can borrow a kit or rent one or whatever. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I like my kit. I love my kit. I love my gear. I'm more comfortable on my stuff. So I just loaded up. I got a rental car, loaded it up, and then just drove across the country, which is like a 24-hour drive to Nashville, you know? So I'm like, oh, this is rough, but super worth it. I was just hyped the whole time. So it wasn't really rough, you know? But yeah, I did they had invited five people out and three of them couldn't because it was like, gotta be that day. And they're like, too bad. There was me and this other kid from North Carolina. And he did his audition. I was after him and I haven't been nervous for a show or a festival or anything like for a long time. It's just like, you get this excitement of like, oh, there's like a lot of people out there at this festival. And you, like, there's just this excitement that just fuels you.
Yep.
But with this, I was like so nervous. Like my stomach was in the tightest of knots. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Like, well, oh my God, I am like dying here. I was so nervous. But then when they're like, hey man, yeah, come in. Like I just immediately, when I walked in and sat behind the kid, I was like, all right, let's go. Like, I know what I'm doing. Like, I want this. Like, this is like, let's go. And so I played through the four songs and performed them as much as I could. I love doing like stick tricks and throwing sticks and just like, I was just like smiling like, you know, I always got like this face while I'm playing drums. And that was like aside from a couple of videos, like that was one of the first times I had like really played and performed with my short hair.
Yeah.
Cause I had long hair. Like, yep. I cut my hair right after otherwise. So long time performing with long hair, throwing it all around and everything. And so that was like throwing me off. And I was like, oh, it's okay. Just like focus. Like, you got this. But it was awesome. I felt great about it. And, then we went outside with the guys just standing in a circle and just, we talked for like an hour just to kind of get to know them and just what they're doing and ask questions about me and like what kind of things I have going on in life. And it was awesome. Like, I wasn't nervous. I felt very connected and it was easy to talk to them. And,
yep.
And then when I went back inside, the guys, took off and I was going back inside, like packing up my drums, and their sound engineer was there and he's like, you got it, man. Like, not even a competition. I was like, thanks, man. But like, I don't know you. And like, I hope so. Like, I don't know. Right. Like, I didn't know if he was just saying or what, but I was like, I freaking hope so. And a week later, they gave me a call and was like, hey, so yeah, you want to play drums in Red? And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, it was just the coolest thing, man. I was just so pumped. Just so, so pumped. I wanted it so bad. And I couldn't believe that I got it.
Yeah. I remember your announcement, like Facebook or something like that. I was like, hell yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
That seems like a perfect fit right there.
Yeah, man. And it's just, like I said, it was exactly the kind of vessel that I needed to be in to like elevate and like continue back in to like, okay, I'm going to be in a band again, not just do videos here and there and like little studio stuff here and there. It's like, okay, yeah, let's be in a band again. And it was rad. You know, it was early 2021. So we didn't do a ton that first year because COVID's still trickling. Most places were still shut down. We did some stuff in like Texas because Texas is Texas. And so they were wide open. We did like four or five shows as my first set of shows with them.
Yep.
And I was like nervous, but not, you know, like I just, you do it, you jump into it and you're just like, okay.
Yep.
And it's just awesome. So yeah, it was kind of a slow start just because of the world, the world opening back up again and just getting back into it. And, you know, they hadn't done anything because of pandemic either. So they were getting back into it as well, and that was kind of nice just because I had taken, you know, a little over a year off of touring. So kind of gradually getting back into it after the pandemic and everything, just getting back into touring, back into a different band. It was so nice, just nice and gradual rather than like, okay, new band, 2 month tour, let's go.
Yeah.
Which would have been awesome. I would have done it and it would have been, you know, quite the experience, but I was much happier with it just kind of like gradually going back into it, you know?
Yeah. That's a good, comfortable start. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What, and did you some guys,
festivals and.
Yeah. I was going to say you guys started touring heavy at the beginning of this year, right? Didn't you guys do Europe and something like that or something like that?
Was
that
this year? So, at the top of last year we did, last year, it is January now.
Yes.
So 23. Time is weird. Yeah. It's a construct, man. What does it mean? We did an acoustic tour with Keith Wallen from Breaking Benjamin.
Yeah, he's been on
He opened up as, dude, he's so awesome. The coolest guy.
He's great.
Super talented. My God, love him. So, you know, he has his solo stuff and he was opening for us on that run. And that was super cool because it was like a longer tour, but it was acoustic. So it's like not quite as taxing, even though it was like full drums.
Yep.
We're rocking out, you know, but like that, just part of that gradual, you know, entrance back into touring and everything. And that was a really, really good time. Then we had a little bit of time off. We were kind of writing the new album, starting to get the wheels on that rolling. We also had re-recorded Until We Have Faces, which is Red's third album. Yep. So we did that acoustically, but also it still has like full rockin' drums and it's really, really cool. It's a really cool take on that album. And it meant a lot that I was playing drums on this album that I've been listening to forever. You know, like Joe Rickard, who played drums on most of Red stuff. Like he's an absolutely incredible drummer and just musician and producer. Like he's unreal.
Yep.
But I love how he approaches the drum writing. It's like mathematical in a way of it just like fits everywhere that it needs to be in a very, very tasteful way. It's not like, oh, okay, super drum heavy, like where it's like all about the drums. It's like everything has its piece. Yep. And it's like Anthony's an incredible songwriter. Mike's an incredible vocalist. Like everybody has their part and it's so incredible. So for me to like be able to play those parts and just elaborate a little bit or put just a little bit of me in there was really, really, really cool. Which that didn't get released until the very end of last year, which is just a couple of months ago. Right.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so we were kind of working on that and just like writing some new music for this upcoming new album. And then we jumped on a tour with Starset.
Yep.
Which was like a 2 month long thing, went all over the country. And
speaking of that real awesome. Quick, I just let everyone know the episode prior to yours is Siobhan from Starset. So I just talked to her last week. Yeah. So I just talked to her last week. So cool.
Very cool.
Continue.
Right on. yeah, that was incredible. I love that band. I've been a huge fan of them. I actually did a drum cover of one of their songs when I had long hair and it was on like the Salt Flats.
Yeah.
And like a lot of drone stuff. And so it was cool to just like geek out and watch them every night, you know. Super cool guys, you know, and girls. They're just super talented at what they do. Yeah. And
excellent.
A good time. And then yeah, we were home for a little bit and we went to Europe, which that Europe tour was postponed like 5 times because of COVID.
Yep.
It was initially supposed to happen before I was in the band, but then COVID happened and it got pushed back and supposed to happen at several points earlier on with me being a part of the band. But so I'm glad it got pushed back because then it allowed me to be on that tour. But yeah, so that was one of those, probably the biggest major bucket list thing that I wanted to accomplish was I want to tour in Europe. I played in Canada and like I said, a couple other places outside of the US, but like overseas in Europe, that's just like a different world, of course. And just ever since I started playing drums in fifth grade, I was like, that's such a huge goal. I want to play in Europe, And so to be able to do that, you know, it literally the best month of my life of just touring. And Keith was with us on that one, brought him out to support us with his full band and love those guys. It was just a good time, man. Like seeing all these places that I've dreamt of visiting, but then I'm also playing music and like the fans are different out there. The shows are different in such a beautiful way. And it's like everything I wanted it to be.
Right.
You know, so absolutely love that. And since I was over there, I decided to stay for an additional 2.5 weeks or whatever after the tour ended and
no way.
Just travel around, get some photos and, you know, just adventure.
Yeah. Is that where you
advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah. Is that where your Scotland video was from? Was from the end of that tour or is that something different?
No. So I went to Scotland earlier in that year. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In March.
Okay.
So right after that acoustic tour, I was like, I got for instance, some free time. Where am I going to go? And I literally was looking into like Ireland, England, like Romania, New Zealand, like anywhere. But I was like, you know what? I just want to go back to Scotland.
Yeah.
That was my second time being there. And I love that country, man. I just love it so much. And so yeah, the video that I just put out was from my second trip to Scotland from this last March.
Right.
And I have a really, really talented, really awesome buddy who he's a composer. And I worked with him and he scored all of the music for it.
Oh, I didn't realize
that.
He and
I got together.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I showed him some of the shots. We talked about like what feelings we wanted it to, you know, evoke and like what I was feeling and just what's cohesive with the shots. Cause I love just like the moody weather, like I was saying. And
yeah,
a lot of my work has just kind of like a moody overtone to it. And Scotland's the perfect thing for that. So, there's kind of like a hopeful but somber element to the music that he wrote, but like also triumphant and like adventurous. Like he just nailed it. Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
I'm stoked with what he did. And yeah, like it took me several months to put it out just because it's like, I'm not just going to like find some music to put to it. Like I want him to do it. And so it was a process of, you know, I didn't want to rush him either. And so, and then I also had like freaking buttload of footage to weed through to find how I wanted to organize this whole thing. And so it took a little while to put out, but I'm so, so glad with, or so, so happy with what it turned out to be.
Yep.
You know,
I think you said you wanted it to be an hour or something like that. Would you?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. Like I just had this goal before I went to Scotland of like, I want to just capture as much like cinematic stuff as I can and just like put together just a long piece. That's just like some kind of short film or just, you know, you can find videos on YouTube that's like,
yeah,
hour 4K footage of Japan or whatever. And people just watch that as like a screensaver or on their TV as there's a party going on or whatever. And so that was kind of the inspiration for that. I'm just like, I wanted to challenge myself to like capture that much footage because it would make me see things differently and shoot in a different way. And so that was a fun challenge for me. And so I probably could have made it an hour, but I'm very hypercritical of my stuff. And I was like, I don't know, that it's windy as crap out there. So like it can be in certain areas. So like the drone stuff, you have to really be controlled on there, and the wind's whipping it around a little bit. So it's, you know, it does great at like combating that wind and stuff, but you still see it a little bit. And so I was like, I don't want to use that. And there were certain things that I just didn't feel as strongly about. So I was like, it's all good. Let's just condense it a little bit. But I learned a ton from doing that and that process of shooting and putting it together. And so I want to do more of that and just grow to like, okay, well, let's now do like a half hour video and then let's do like a 45 and then an hour. And so just trying to just sit in these like cinematic shots, even if it's not the drone one, just like with my handheld of just, you know, one of these locks that are moving and there's just like this castle and you just like sit in that moment. And it's okay. Cause a lot of what I do with music videos and stuff, it's kind of more run and gun where it's like, okay, we got the shot and then let's do this one and just like quicker pieces. So yeah, just kind of breaking that habit and just like, it's okay to sit in this moment and it's okay in a video for it to sit on this longer than just a few seconds, you know?
With drones. So let me ask you. So with drone stuff, you know, I've been doing drone probably the same length as you probably. And, I found for me that I would go out, I'd shoot, and then I'd like, all right, I'm going to readjust my thumbstick settings, or I'm going to readjust my smoothness, stuff like that. So I would shoot and then I'd go, all right, that, you know, my turns are too fast, or my, you know, my pans are too much, too whatever. So I go back and redo it over and over again. Was this something were you feeling pretty dialed in when you went over there, or were you kind of just kind of playing around?
I felt pretty dialed into it. That first drone that I had when I was saying that I worked, first got into it was the Mavic Pro.
Yep.
And then when the Mavic 2 came out, Mavic 2 Pro, I got that one. And that's the one that I had in Scotland. And I worked with that like a ton. Like I loved it and I was super comfortable with it. But like I said, most of it was just the wind. Like it just catches a draft and just like pushes it just enough that it's like, man, you're sitting in this beautiful shot. And it's like, you know, just like, it gets like just the smallest thing. And I'm like, I see it. No one else will notice, but it's like, I see it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. With my first drone though, the Mavic Pro, I was like that where I would fly and I was like, oh man, it's gotta be settings and trying to like adjust it and have it so the gimbal doesn't go down as fast, a little bit more smooth on the motions. And then I just realized that I need to be a little bit more smooth with it in conjunction with finding those settings that are the most cohesive for what I'm looking to do. So yeah, just sitting there, just sitting with it and working it, you know? Yep.
And I'll say for anyone, again, anyone watching this or listening to this, cause this is also on YouTube. So go check out the YouTube site, but your link tree, you have that as your first option in your link tree. So the 4K version of it, and it's such breathtaking video, and it's, you know, while you were there, was it, all right, I need to hit this castle, I need to hit that castle, or was it you just like, I'll get there and I'll just figure it out, or do you have all that sort of planned out already?
Yeah, so I knew how long I was going to be there, and I always have like a list of different countries and places that I want to see. So I pulled up my Scotland list and kind of looked on a map of where these places were and came up with some kind of plan, some general plan. And just like a loop. So I flew into Glasgow, went to like the Isle of Skye, went up through the Highlands, and just cut over like all the way over through, what is it? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank, but just like all the way over to like the eastern coast of Scotland. Yep. Aberdeen. Yeah, I think it is. And then down through Edinburgh and then back over to Glasgow to fly out.
Yeah.
So I knew that route and I picked things that were on the way that I could make happen. And even when I like to be organized and lists are awesome and like plans like that, but I know there's always flex. There's always things that happen. So I didn't hit everything, but there were like anchor points of like certain castles that I was like, I have to hit this, or like there's certain spots. And actually, when I was in the Highlands, I had the rental car, like one of the tires blew. And so I was stranded in the super remote Scottish Highlands for several hours because like service isn't great out there. It was late at night, completely dark. There's not really passerbys. I'm trying to get on the phone with the car rental company and their service provider. And it's, there's all this back and forth and misinformation of like, oh yeah, they'll be there in 45 minutes. I'm like, all right, I can deal with that. Then hours go by and I'm like, hey, so now what's going on? They're like, oh, right. They told you that? No, it's actually this. But it was a mess. And I got to a city called, a very, very small town called Drumbeck. And I had to, yeah, because I was on a tow truck. A tow truck took my rental car all the way up there and dumped it. And so I just stayed at my Airbnb for like an additional two nights from what I wanted to. So, because we had to source a tire from the closest larger city and have it like basically driven in, and it was kind of a mess. But the lady that I was staying with in her Airbnb part of the house was like the nicest lady. Everybody out there is so kind. The
that's awesome.
The tow truck driver that I was riding with was just the coolest guy. So it as like frustrating and or scary or like concerning as that situation could have been, because I'm just traveling by myself, like it was just kind of funny. I was like, it could so be worse. Like I'm stranded in the Scottish Highlands and like I'm fine. It's fine. Like This is awesome. It's just a story, you know? And so yeah, when I eventually was making my way out of Drumbeck, when I got my tire on and everything, I had to from there kind of rewrite my route because I needed to make up the time that I was supposed to be 2 days further along, you know? So I had to just kind of skip a few things and make it to where I was back on track. But just means I got to go back. There's way too many things that I still got to see. So
yeah, totally. Yeah. That's a good reason.
Yeah. So we have this tour with Alter Bridge coming up at the end of January. And, it's like a month long. It'll go through. I'll be back home at the end of February, and so I'm like, that's like the best time to plan trips, is because we're usually not going to jump from one tour to another. So I can be like, okay, I know I have this time open. There's not a tour that's likely to pop up in there, so I'm already looking at where to go for another Europe trip. And
nice,
I'm like, I might just go back to Scotland. It's just
why not? Yeah.
I know. I'm just like, there's so many places, and even the places that I've been that I have hit both times, it's like, they're just awesome. And the people out there, I've made some friends out there. Like, it's just cool, man.
Yep. That's awesome. When it comes to, I mean, so for me, getting back to Raw Red, I got Sahaj tomorrow. So I got Raw Red as well. Getting back to Red. So for me, I've been a huge Red fan since the first album. I love the heavy but melodic vibe to it. I mean, that is just right up my, you know, that's right in that sweet spot for what I like to listen to. And I mean, you're touring with some great bands like Star Set and, you know, Keith as well. And, you know, you got a great tour coming up too. I think you guys are like, all those bands, I'm like, man, that's just my sweet spot for what I like to listen to. So, For me, I've been a fan of Red since the beginning. So I think they're awesome. And I've got every album. I actually am going to get, I have not gotten yet. I'm going to get the acoustic album. I just haven't had a chance to yet.
I'll have
that very soon because I've heard it. And it sounds freaking great. I love a heavy melodic rock acoustic version of that. You know, there's some really killer version. I really like what I've heard, on the videos and stuff like that.
Thanks, man. And like with the live strings and everything, it adds so much. Like those orchestrations.
I will be getting that very, very soon. But so when it comes to like touring, so you've done touring. So you've been done touring with the band for the last year and a half, roughly-ish.
Basically, yeah. We're coming up on 2 years of being a member, but with sparse touring in the first year.
Yeah,
did a couple little things here and there, but
coming you guys up on have 2 years some with huge them. Festivals too, right?
Yeah, we did Blue Ridge and Rockville, and we did Louder Than Life the first year with them, and
that's great. That's awesome. Busy. That's awesome. And now, so when you're on the road, I mean, you've had quite a interesting, because you've done the acoustic, so you haven't done you've had a pretty wide range of stuff in a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Types of tours.
For sure.
And this, you know, this question may be different for different situations, but when you're on the road, what's your day like? What is your routine for a tour?
So I like to be regimented and like, I like schedules. I like to stay consistent as possible.
Right.
And with touring, that's super difficult. It can be, you know, yeah. Fortunately we tour in a bus, so you're at least, you know, you can have a fridge, so I can't eat garbage. Like,
right.
You know, like I need my whole body to do what I do. I'm throwing my whole body around. So if I feel like crap, it's like, nah. So it's like, I try to eat as healthy as I can on the road and off the road. And fortunately there's like, as in my time in touring, it's gotten easier to find healthier options to eat. Yeah. So especially, you know, being on a bus and having a like a fridge and places to store little things, that helps a ton. But yeah, getting up and always eat breakfast. And when we roll into the venue, it takes a couple days in the tour to kind of sink into how that tour schedule is going to be. But it's really nice when you know, okay, this is load in. This is sound check. This is VIP. This is our set. And then we load out and we're on the road by this time. So when we sink into that, I know what my days are going to look like for that particular tour. I'm like, okay, well, I have the mornings, or I have this chunk in the afternoon that I can go explore. If there's cool things in the area, if it's a city that I haven't been to, or if it's an area that I haven't been to, or if there's something cool that I know that's nearby, or if I have friends in the area, just, I try to fill that time with doing something, because it's, you know, I don't want to just sit in a green room. I don't want to just sit in a bus or sit in a hotel. Like, I want to, you know, maximize my opportunity to go do things and see things. And I love traveling. So that's the best thing, when I can travel and play music. So it's just take advantage of it, you know?
Yep. For the Red Tour, you know, for the major tour or whatever, how many crew members, how big is the crew for that?
We usually have, like somebody doing merch. We have an incredible photographer, videographer that goes out with us named Courtney Della Fiora. She's absolutely incredible. She's one that I look up to so much. I love her work. So that's cool, because I can just nerd out, you know, because I'm just like, you're the coolest.
Yeah.
But yeah, she, so yeah, there's those. We have like a guitar tech, front of house, sometimes a light guy, tour manager, there's a pretty decent crew.
Yep.
And I usually, like, I've toured plenty of times with a drum tech. I don't right now, and I kind of don't mind that. Like, I'm pretty particular with my stuff, and like a puzzle of how it goes back into the vault. And it's just like kind of a therapeutic thing of like just like setting up the kit. Like, it's just like kind of gets me ready for the show, and I'm like in the venue, and I just love walking around the venue and just like setting it up and just making sure everything's just as I need it. And then at the end of the night, it's kind of like a wind down calming thing of just like, yeah, just like tearing it down. Everything goes, you know, people are so nice and like, hey man, can I give you a hand, or, you know? And I'm like, no, it's all good. I got it. Like, I actually enjoy doing that. Sometimes, you know, it's like, man, I just want to go hang out, or I have friends here and I got to pack up my drums real quick. So there's times like that. And, you know, I could have a drum tech, you know, on some of these tours, but it's like, I kind of don't mind doing it for the most part. So it's like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I don't mind getting my hands dirty and moving stuff. Like, yeah. Yep.
That's great. I don't know, this puts you on the spot, but, when it comes to like favorite crazy moments or anything like that, anything stand out for you for what you've been doing so far?
There's definitely like been some awesome, crazy, ridiculous moments in touring. I don't know how incriminating I should get. There's nothing like crazy like that, but, definitely had some super fun times of, you know, playing festivals and then ending up in the hotel pool at 5 a.m. playing naked volleyball and doing stuff like that, and just shenanigans aplenty.
Yeah.
you know, but honestly, some of my favorite moments of touring is just like when you just sit back and you're like, I can't believe I'm doing this. You know, like just the little kid in me of being in fifth grade, just dreaming of doing these things. I'm like, I'm doing it, man. Like it's so cool. Like when we played Welcome to Rockville with Red this last, when was that? It was last year.
Yeah.
It's at the Daytona Speedway, I think is what it is, right? But in Florida, and like we drive our bus onto the track. Like I'm not into racing or anything, but like I know that that's a big deal. So like it's just so cool. We're just on our butt, like driving in our bus, like on the track, and it's just like whoa. And then after we like that festival was in just insane. Like it almost got some of the bands didn't get to play because there's a lot of lightning and stuff.
Right. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
They evacuated everybody. Like right before we were supposed to go on, it pushed our set back. We didn't think that we'd even be able to play because there's other bands past us that, you know, could, you know, have the spot more than we should in a way.
Yeah, right.
Just because they're the bigger bands. And they let everybody back in. We got to play our set. There's like rain and lightning. And we had Brian Head Welch from Korn because the guys are really close with him. He came on stage and played a song with us. And
yeah.
It was just the coolest night. It was just the coolest, one of my favorite, festivals for sure. And then when we were leaving, we stopped at one of the turns and just like climbed up the hill. And those turns, it doesn't look as
steep. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They're super steep. And so we just crawl up there. It's kind of slippery cause it was wet. And we just sat on the top of that hill of the turn. And we're just like looking at the festival grounds as they were emptying out and just, it's still a little like thundering and lightning in the distance. And we're just like, that's one of those moments where it's just like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And, so that's one that really, really stands out to me. And similar kind of thing on the very, very first tour that I ever did. I was playing in a metal band and we were in Seattle and it was right after we had played. And the trailer was all packed up, ready to go, but we were just kind of like hanging out and whatever. I just kind of like walked away from everybody. The trailer door was down. I just like laid down on it and just like looked at the sky and I was just like, just soaking it in and just so appreciative to like have that opportunity. And
yeah,
you know, it's just the coolest, man. Like yeah. I try to like every night I have a moment of like, this is the coolest thing. I'm so glad I have the opportunity to do this. Cause I feel like if that gets lost, then it's like, why even do it? You know, it's like, if you're not passionate about it, if you're not feeding that flame and just like chasing that dream, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. So. I've taken up a lot of time. Let me just kind of ask you a few final questions here. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, man, no problem.
All this. Let's just kind of wind down with a couple of quick questions here. So, What is next for you guys? You had mentioned potentially a new album, stuff like that. I know you got the tour coming up. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm hopefully going to see you in Boston.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I'm trying to get photo access for that. We'll see. I haven't heard anything yet.
Yeah. We'll just hit me up.
I may. But you have that tour coming up with Alter Bridge and Mammoth.
Mammoth.
Yeah. That's going to be so cool. I'm so psyched for that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be killer. Those are such good bands. And so it'll be an honor to play with them and open that show.
Yeah. So you probably can't say anything beyond that, but is there anything you can say that's coming up? Anything specific, maybe not necessarily Red related? Anything else you're working on or anything coming up that you can talk
about? Yeah. Well, with Red, like we do have a new album coming out. We should have a new single. Dates are kind of fluid because Red's independent. So there's not a label breathing down your neck of like, it's gotta be this day, get it done.
Yeah.
You know, in the time making it right. Drums are all done for it. They're super fun, super cool songs. I'm really, really excited to see how they all come together and to get it out in the world. But we should have a single within the next couple months and then the album being released within a month or two after that. So like I said, kind of fluid, nothing solid, but hopefully before summer, the album's out and we'll be touring off of that and just doing the thing. Yeah. I certainly have a lot of like solo travels in between that. I work with like some travel bureaus and other nonprofits and like interior designers in Utah and kind of all over the country too. But there's a few that I work with where, you know, we'll find some of my pieces that work for this client's house and, you know, get them printed on giant metals or acrylics or whatever. And
Wow, that's cool.
That's the coolest thing ever. Seeing, like I said, it's not just this little thing on your phone. It's like just seeing it printed and it's like this big thing. It's just like, man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like when I travel, I love going to galleries in general, but like photography galleries and just seeing that work and being inspired by it. And it's, it's always, you know, as big as a freaking wall. And I'm like, I want pictures that big.
That's
so awesome. It's been a really cool journey trying to find these opportunities and working with these great interior designers and even some private people that have purchased big pieces for their home. Like I love working with them and just finding those pieces that will complement their home and just be like this incredible piece above their fireplace or up their stairwell or like whatever, you know? And then I am working on a second photography book as well.
Killer.
Which is kind of slow going just because there's so much else going on, but I absolutely want to put together another one. And a lot of people have asked, they're like, oh, is there going to be a year two? I was like, there's no way I could do one there because there's just so much that goes into it. And I'm like, man, I'm going on like year four. And so I'm way behind if I'm got to put out a year two next, you know?
Yeah, no kidding.
It won't be like arc, you know, years, but it'll definitely be another collection of some of my favorites and done in a little bit different style. But, you know, I have so many more photos from the last 3 years, obviously,
yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
a wider range of across more of the world. So yeah, I absolutely want to get another book out there, hopefully by the end of this year. For the last couple of years, I've been playing with the idea and looking into opening a gallery of my own in Salt Lake. And like, you know, getting to the point where, you know, I've ran numbers, I've looked at spaces, I've looked at kind of what it would take and, you know, creating business plans and all sorts of things to make it work and to be profitable and for it to be just for it to work, you know? And so I'm right about to the point where I can start, I feel like, reaching out to some investors and seeing about making it happen.
Oh, cool.
But because, yeah, I would love to have just a physical space that you can walk in and kind of disconnect from the busy outside and just look at some of that and have a portion of it for like the nonprofits that I work for. So the photos that I capture for them, it's another avenue to bring awareness and funds. Because, you know, if a piece from that collection sells, then love to kick back to that nonprofit just as another way to support it. And just trying to find all sorts of different ways that I can stay busy and keep creating and keep putting it, keep putting stuff out there. And it's crazy and it's awesome. And like, it's not, it's absolutely not the easiest, you know, it's things are never as they seem, you know, there's always a veil. There's always a lot going on behind the curtain. I don't really share much about like personal life and stuff. And like, I don't just like air it out online. I'm always happy to have conversations with people, but I just try to put out positive and like put out cool things. And it's not quite as it may seem, but I can't complain too much. Like I feel very happy and very fortunate and very proud of what I've been able to do, you know?
So what was it? That's excellent, first of all, but what was the voice over stuff you were doing? Narration.
So yeah, I kind of started doing that just about a year ago. Just seemed like a fun thing to do. You know, just one more way to fill some time, you know, just to keep myself busy. So yeah, I've done a few like books, like some nonfiction books that are like told in the first person. So there's other characters and stuff, but you don't hear their dialogue. It's all just like conversational from one person's point of like first person point of view, if that's the right term.
Sure.
And those are super fun. I do some like character voices and things, which is just silly. I'm like super awkward with it. I don't like do it in front of anybody. Like the few people I've told about it, they're like, you do what? I'm like, it's fun. I don't know. Like it's cool.
Yep.
But then I've done a lot for like some like residential, like there's a like homes.com. Yep. Like if you were to buy a home in some certain neighborhood, there would be several different content pieces of like the schools in the area, the amenities like the parks in the area. And so there's teams that capture all that content and script writers and like all sorts. And then like I'll get a script and be reading the voiceover part for it of like these amenities and everything's amazing, you know, and come check out this whatever in this city kind of a thing. And that's just been fun. It's just kind of cool. And like I said, there's some creativity to it when it's a character. But yeah, I'm in St. George, Utah right now, just Southern Utah. And there's a book that I'm working on for tomorrow. I'll have it wrapped. And so it's kind of fun. It's different. Like I haven't put anything about that online because I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like super confident with it, but it's like doing well. And like, you know, like, this author reached out to me and it's working, but I just don't feel super confident with putting it out there, I guess. Yeah,
it's still like, new. Whatever. Is it an audiobook? Are you like narrating the book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I've done a couple of those and even like, done like, I did a financial book. They're just like financial advice. And I was like, that might be a little boring, but like, yeah, it could be kind of fun and just experience just to try it out. And I was like, still fun. Still awesome. Yeah. I like it. You know,
it's still kinda recording. It still relates to like playing music and stuff like
exactly. that. Exactly. I was like, learned some stuff, read a book. Yeah. It's awesome. You know, so can't complain, man.
That's cool. That's awesome. Well, yeah. When you mentioned that, I was like, wait, what else are you doing? What's going on? That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Get as much.
Crazy.
If you can do all that stuff. I mean, I do a lot of that stuff, but in a corporate environment. So I find it actually kind of a lot of, like you said, it's a lot of fun and it's very educational. And actually I'm learning a lot about using my voice and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Cool. Yeah.
And like, sometimes I can have I talk fast and can kind of like mumble and like fumble over myself when I'm talking. And so kind of a part of it, of why I got into it as well, was hoping to slow myself down and to like speak better, talk better, you know,
enunciate,
just speak more eloquently. So it's been kind of like a therapeutic thing for that as well, of just like helping me speak more better, or, you know.
Now you'll have a better answering machine. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wind down one last question here. So when you're consuming content, whether you're watching videos or, you know, series, movies, whatever, is there anything you're watching or into right now? Netflix, you know, Hulu, Disney, all that stuff, anything going on there?
So I kind of have a hard time with just like sitting down and watching shows because I just feel like, I should be more productive.
Yeah.
You know, but there are a few that I dig and I can just like drop into at any point. I just super into it. Have you ever seen like The Last Kingdom or Outlander?
Yes.
Those are great. Like I love that kind of thing. There's this one show on Netflix called Sex Education. That's kind of fun.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's set in England and it's like kind of a, it's kind of hard to describe, but
the sitcom,
this kid's mom is a sexual therapist. And so he kind of becomes a sex therapist for his school, you know, and it's just kind of fun.
Okay.
Cool. Funny. It's crass. It's pretty good. And you know, the heavy hitters like Ozark and Fargo, always good. And
love
Fargo, shows like, I love the movie. And then when they started coming out with the series, I was like,
every you know? Season is just so good.
Yes. Like the cast, just the score to it, the music that they throw in there.
Everything,
and just like the subtle funny bits that like almost fly past you. And you're like, wait a second. So I love that, man.
Yep.
And then, and stuff like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like that's a good one. Just throw that on anytime and love that.
Yep. So. I just finished watching on Paramount. I just finished watching, and I've never seen Yellowstone or anything like that, but I just finished watching 1882, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
New series. Excellent. Really, really excellent series. I highly recommend it. I mean, I'm not really, I don't know anything about Yellowstone, but this is sort of a pre.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah, extremely well done. Excellent acting, everything. So this is something I just finished watching this week. And I was like, holy cow, I had no idea.
Yeah.
It's great. So anyways,
there's so much good.
Yeah.
Like just like cinema and TV shows out there anymore. And yeah. Like, you know, there's everybody's like, oh, you got to watch this show. You got to watch this one. And I'm like, there's not enough time to watch all of these awesome shows. I know. So, like, I have a huge list of things I want to watch and that everybody's like, yo, you got to watch this. But it's hard to just knock it out. And some people are like, well, when you're traveling on tour. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll just watch it on tour. But it's like, even when we're traveling, like, I like to be looking out the windows or like,
yeah,
just even taking it in, yeah, music and just like watching, looking out the windows or just doing something, hanging out, whatever, you know. I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I'm just so removed if I'm in this show when there's other cool things to be doing, yeah, or to be seeing or interacting with. So
definitely. So, man, I really want to say, first of all, thank you so much for doing this. I've been kind of hounding you for a while to do this.
No, dude, I appreciate the patience, and I'm so glad it finally linked up. And
yeah, me too.
You're the best.
I've been a fan of your work for a while, and I think you're a prime example of talent versus go get it attitude, and just really being positive and really kind of, all right, this is a goal, and how do you get that goal? So I think you're a prime example of just putting your best foot forward, always trying to improve your work. I mean, your work is excellent, pretty much in, you know, your music. I freaking love the band you're in. I freaking love your work, both video and photography and stuff like that. So again, thank you so much. Congratulations on everything you've had so far. I think
Thank you, seriously.
You're still at the, I think you're still at the beginning of your journey for all this stuff, but congratulations so far. And thank you for doing this.
Of course. Yeah. More than, so, my pleasure, man.
Excellent. So socials, people want to check out your book, your photos, any of that stuff. Where do they go?
I'm the most active on Instagram. So it's at Brian_Medeiros. So
yep.
My last name does not follow that I before E rule.
Yep.
Medeiros. But
I'll put links, man, in the show notes as well. Yep. And your website, get your book, which I highly recommend checking out, your photos, all that stuff. Red, check out all the Red stuff. I mean, the acoustic album I will be getting probably this weekend, very, very soon.
Right on.
Great, great stuff. So thank you so much, man.
Dude, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for watching part two of our interview with Brian Medeiros. We hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our other episodes, our other guests, on all your favorite podcast locations. Search for Tales from the Pit Podcast. You can also watch on YouTube. Check out our website, talesfromthepit.net. Hope to see you on the next one. This episode was edited and produced by me, Jason Levasseur. Visit talesfromthepit.net for more episodes just like this.
1998, I start recording all of these songs, and these are the songs that I'm basically writing after I've stopped working with Nandi. And within those songs, there's several that people know, like Rectifier and Do You Call My Name and all that stuff. Yep. Those are all from 1998. 1999 rolls around, and there was a movie called The Ridge, Carrie 2. It was a failed Carrie sequel.
Yeah.
And the end title song was a song that I'd written with Nandi back in the day. The guy who was the music supervisor knew us. Okay. And liked the song and said, hey, would you put this together? And but he needed it to be put out as a band, and I recorded it my own way. And then the guy was like, well, I need a name. What are you going to call it? And I had dinner with a friend, and I was going through these names, and I had a whole bunch of weird names. And then I had thought about Ra, mostly because at the time, I was still obsessed with Sting, and every song that, you know, so Sting used to write a lot of songs about the moon. So he had like Walking on the Moon. It's just, he has an album called Nothing Like the Sun, which is a Shakespearean reference to the moon. Sure. There's all kinds of stuff, Moon Over Bourbon Street. So I wanted to be like Sting. So I started writing all these songs about the sun.